Lord, we do thank you for being with us this whole weekend.
Amen.
We thank you for coming to each of us as the Spirit of reality.
Amen.
To do your guiding work.
Amen.
Lord, we pray even this morning as we're here in this gathering,
Amen.
Please come and continue to guide us.
Amen.
As we leave this place today,
Amen.
Lord, continue your work.
Amen.
Even in our daily living,
Amen.
Guide us into the reality of everything. Not only everything we heard this weekend,
Amen.
But everything from your word.
Amen.
We're trusting you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, give us the openness
Amen.
To follow you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we need you.
Amen.
Even here this morning.
Amen.
Oh, how we need you
Amen.
For both the giving and the receiving of this word.
Amen.
Oh, we just turn our whole attention to you.
Amen.
We pray as we're here this morning, we would have the helmet of salvation.
Amen.
We would have the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
And we ask that also you pray for us and fight for us.
Amen.
Lord, as we're fighting the battle here,
Amen.
You're fighting there.
Amen.
You're fighting through your intercessory prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. We're on your heart.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
We trust you for this time this morning. This weekend, the Lord has led us to focus on this matter of the personal fellowship with the Lord. And I hope that throughout the course of the weekend, we've seen at least a few things. One very important point is the link, we saw this last night, with this matter and the direct building up of the church. Our function as members of the body, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, is that we as the members are doing the direct building up of the church.
Amen.
That the body is building itself up in love. That's Ephesians 4, 16. But the verse before that, verse 15, it says that each of us has to, what? Hold the head. We're holding the head. Out from whom? Out from whom the body is actually growing. So the building of the body depends on every member, and every member has to grow. And every member grows by holding the head. And actually, in our personal relationship and fellowship with the Lord, from morning to evening, not just in the morning fellowship or in any personal time of fellowship, actually throughout the whole day we have this opportunity, hold the head. But I would say in our personal time, remember, I think it was the first night we talked about set time, set place. Set time, set place. Yes, there's another aspect of any time and any place. And we're working on that too, right? We're not there yet. We haven't fully entered into 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says what? Unceasingly pray. But we're getting there. We're endeavoring in that too. But I tell you, for that, for the anytime, any place, it's a big help if you have set time, set place. You know, where I'm serving in New York, when that book came out that we recommended to you all, the Lessons for New Believers. We took that series of lessons, just the five lessons. And in one of our districts, we took 14 months to go through. Very slow, point by point, to try to help the saints in a kind of a midweek kind of a training meeting. We called it Lessons on the Normal Christian Life. We just gave it this title. And I remember during those days, there was a kind of a slogan among us. The saints very often would say, set time, set place. Just as a kind of reminder, set time, set place. How's your set time in your set place? Oh, saints, I hope we can all develop this habit. Set time, set place. Of course, many of us who have been believers for some time, this is not just with us in the Lord's recovery. I was shepherded into this kind of a experience. Even there, when I first was saved in the Brethren denomination, we didn't call it morning watch. We surely didn't call it morning revival. We called it devotionals. Maybe some of you grew up with that, you know, talking that way. Devotionals. Sometimes we called it quiet time. Quiet time. Whatever you call it, whatever is your practice, our burden is that through this fellowship, we would just advance a little bit. We would go a little deeper. It could get a little richer. The quality would be a little higher. Why? Because the set time, set place fellowship becomes a real foundation for the anytime, anyplace fellowship. And the two complement one another. The two complement one another. And it's a real cycle. It's a real cycle. I think someone who does not practice the set time, set place, in the long run, you may be weakened in your anytime, anyplace fellowship. But if you have the set time, set place fellowship, that will strengthen you, using the word from 1 John 2:27, to abide, just to abide. But the reverse is true. Suppose we have set time, set place fellowship. Actually, if through the day we're not enjoying following the anointing, we're not calling, we're not turning, then also our set time fellowship is weakened. It really is a cycle. It really is a cycle. But to begin this morning, I would like to fellowship at least three benefits of having such a set time, set place fellowship with the Lord. There are others. This is not all inclusive, but there are at least these three major benefits to ourselves, to our Christian life, to our personal life, and eventually, because we're blessed, this becomes a blessing to our local church, to our family, to all those around us. So I'd like to mention these three things. And these three points that I'm going to tell you they go along with these first three verses here. 1 John 1:7, Isaiah 54, and 1 John 2:27. First, this one, 1 John 1:7. The first benefit of having a set time, set place, fellowship with the Lord. And again, whatever you call it, I still like to call it morning watch. You like to say more morning revival? That's fine with me. Yeah, whatever you call it. What's the first benefit? Personal enlightenment. Personal enlightenment. What do we mean by that? First John 1:7 talks about walking in the light. God is light. God is light. The book of 1 John, the subject of this book is the fellowship of the divine life, the fellowship of the eternal life. And this book reveals to us some principles how to maintain and deepen the fellowship. And in the course of this book, 1 John is very dear because it unveils hindrances to the fellowship. And especially three hindrances to the fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1, we see the first hindrance is, I think many of you know, of course, sin. Sin. In chapter 2, we see the world. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Loving the world, that means there's no room for love for the Father. This morning we just celebrated the table meeting. Wasn't there just a sweet feeling there at the end? Giving thanks to the Father. Father, thank you. You qualified us. But what about Tuesday afternoon? What about Wednesday night? What about Friday night? Do we still have love for the Father? Or is there love for the world? It could be love for the Father in the meeting, and then right after the meeting, love for the world. Actually, sometimes in the meeting, our thoughts drift. Our heart drift. There's some activity after. Did you never go through this? Some activity, a little plan, a little something. And you're in the meeting. Amen. What time is it? And your heart is already there. Sin, the world, the third hindrance, idols. I-D-O-L-S, idols. Idols. You know, this book is a very interesting book. It ends with the word idols. You know, we would think the books of the Bible should end with amen. Grace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. This book ends how? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Goodbye. This is really the aged John. This is like a grandfather talking. Yeah, last word. Watch those idols. And then he leaves. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So, hindrances to the fellowship. And saints, we have to admit. We have to admit. This is God's word. These three things still plague us. Still bother us. I hope many of us are past the stage of sins that beset us. But we don't take anything for granted. You don't take anything for granted. You know, it's if you can avoid sinning in your speech, you are really an excellent Christian. Sometimes our speech, it's not a lie. Exactly. It's just a little stretch or an exaggeration. And you know, in actually concerning speech, in 1 Timothy, it talks about gossip. 1 Timothy 5, gossip. It talks about in chapter 3, 1 Timothy 3, not that the serving ones, the deacons, must not be double-tongued. Double-tongued. You know double tongue? Which animal has a double tongue?
Snake.
Hello, brother. We shouldn't praise the Lord. That's terrible. Actually, what is a double tongue? A double tongue, it's what we would say today, speaking behind someone's back. You say two things. in front of you. I say, "Hi, Ben. Nice tie, brother. Nice tie." "Did you see that tie? Did you see?" We never did this? But we do so, maybe so naturally, and then we forget. And then we go to the word, and we go to the meeting, and we try to enjoy. It doesn't flow today like last week. Last week it really flowed. Maybe they called the wrong songs. And it was a little hot today anyway. It was a little hot. I didn't like my chair. I was sitting too close to the front. Or, I don't like my chair. I was sitting too close to the back. We blame things. But we don't realize, actually, there's been a small accumulation. Gossip. Double tongue. Inaccurate speaking, just little things. It's like a film. But wait long enough, and it becomes, you know, in a house that you haven't been in a while, suppose you clean it and leave. But when you come back, you go like that. And there's a layer. Where does that come from? Just the atmosphere. With us, we are in an atmosphere of sin. Actually, remember, we were born in Adam. And we still have that nature. And if you just wait, at first it's just a little film. But wait, just wait. Don't do much. After 2 months, oh my. And that our conscience could be the same way. But because those things are so little, we may not have any realization, so we're trying to pray. And if you have what we called the other night, the drive-through morning revival, you recall what we're talking about? Just a quick, amen, what are those verses? Oh yes, amen, giving thanks to the Father, amen, qualified us, amen, hallelujah, I'm qualified, amen, amen, that was good. Then we go to work, do whatever. But we didn't linger. And there was not enough time for the Lord to enlighten us. Actually, we didn't give time for his speaking. We didn't leave time for his speaking. Now, saints, please do not misunderstand. I'm not promoting that we go to the Lord to look for our sin. No. But what I'm saying is that we have fellowship with the Lord and linger with him to give him the opportunity to shine on our sin. And actually, If we do, just one little ray of light could open a door. Oh Lord, I not only said that about this brother. Oh Lord, this is my habit. Oh Lord, what I said last week to this sister, what I said that week to that brother. What I said to my children. Oh Lord, if we give the Lord just a little entrance, the way to enlighten us, we may have, oh my, there may be a list of things, but we never gave the Lord the chance. Those things have been there. And you know what? By the Lord's grace, even with all those things there, we enjoyed the Lord. Imagine where we would be today in our enjoyment of the Lord if we had confessed those things a month ago. You know, it's our maybe habit. I've seen this. Some people are naturally opinionated, express their opinion. Just very, I didn't ask you, but you told me anyway. But I've also noticed that the longer we are in the church life, it's almost like we gain the right to express our opinion more. Because I've been around and I know how to do things. So we just want to give you some fellowship. It's actually on fellowship. It's my opinion. Give your opinion. But we don't see that. We don't see that about ourselves. And no one can tell you. It's hard to go to Ben. Ben, you know, brother, you're quite opinionated. I don't know how he would receive it. Actually, I kind of know how he would receive it. So that's why I think I would not dare say that. And he's not. This is just an illustration. It's just an illustration. I'm not sending messages. And we're not in the same locality coordinating together. We don't coordinate over anything together. Really, right? Nothing. I sent you to Puerto Rico one time. That was it, right? Yeah, and there was no opinion there. I sent you, you went. Yeah, I just want to make it clear for the record. But suppose in our coordination, there'd be a brother, younger, I have the ground, and I say, brother, you know, your meeting here with brothers, half of them are older than you. How about you wait a little bit to say something? Even that, it's risky. He may never open to me again. So it's hard to say things. It's hard to say things. But if he's before the Lord, really before the, lingering before the Lord, lingering, it's possible. This thing that has been in him for 15 years, that no one was ever able to touch, the Lord one morning, like a laser, could cut this out. And I have witnessed saints. I have witnessed saints among us loving the Lord so much. We really, the Lord knows. Before the Lord, we say, we treasure them. We know their commitment, their consecration, their vision. We can testify to all that. But there's just something within them that makes them unblendable, unbuildable. Almost to the point, nobody likes them. And it's very difficult to say anything. 10 years, no change. Sometimes 20 years, no change. Why? I think at least one reason is the lack of this. To be before the Lord and receiving the personal enlightenment, where the Lord could touch something so profound in the depths of our being, no one else can touch. Do you want to stay the same after 10 years? From the first night, right, we sang this, higher ground. Lord, lead me onto higher ground. You know, I've said to the Lord, Lord, even if it hurts, Lord, don't leave me the way I am, please. And I say this, and I can see this clearly in others, and I know probably there are things in me. Maybe, Ben, you've been waiting to talk to me about something. You have the ground, Ben. You have the ground. You should try it sometime. You should try. But I realize there might be things in me. I need to continually go to the Lord. None of us should have the feeling, I've arrived. was just go to the Lord, and the Lord would give us the personal enlightenment. You know, light has many functions. Not just for your way, not just for your way. Light also warms. Light warms you. But light also, when focused and intensified, can heal you. Light can heal you. Oh, that we would have the times with the Lord to allow Him the opportunity to really touch our being so that we can grow. To touch, as we said the other day in the parable of the sower, the second kind of ground that has the rocks, the stones. Oh, you know, I really recommend the footnotes in that section in the recovery version. Brother Lee has a development, some examples of what the stones might be. It's not all inclusive, but some of those things. What does he say? Hidden sins. Hidden sins. Self-pity. Self-pity. It's a big rock. Self-pity. Oh, nobody appreciates me. Oh, I'm so this. Oh, I'm so that. Pray, read, what is it? Colossians 1:12. 1:12, right? Giving thanks to the Father. Amen. Who qualified you. Amen. You're qualified. Amen. Stop with the self-pity. Amen. You're qualified. Rise up. But my yelling at you doesn't do anything. Well, you're with the Lord. Actually, the Lord doesn't. Come on! Thank the Lord. He shines. He shines. And one day that light opens your eyes and disintegrates that big stone of self-pity that has prevented the roots from going deeper. But we, in a sense, we all have a measure of this. It's really love of self. We all have a measure. Our situation. Things happen. And we, every now and then, we do feel this way. Have you never said, why does everything happen to me? Actually, that's not accurate. Everything doesn't happen to you, nor to me. But we feel that way. Oh, that the Lord could enlighten. The second point is personal comfort. Personal comfort. Now I just said, nothing, everything doesn't happen to you. Now I'm coming to the other side. Now I'm going to sympathize with you. Because we all are going through something. We all are going through something. And sometimes we pass through things that we can't tell others. Things are these are heart matters. Or there's a certain situation and people can sympathize with you and they think, oh, you're going through this thing, but actually they don't understand what's at the heart of the matter. And there's a pain in your heart. We all pass through. Human life, you cannot avoid passing through things like this. You cannot avoid passing through loss, suffering, pain. That's human life. That is our lot until the kingdom. And sometimes we go to people, we talk to them. But have you never experienced, you talk to someone and it's good. You got something out, that's good to unload. But you didn't get the comfort that you needed. Or the person that you usually go to is not available. I hope we could learn to be before the Lord, that He could give us a word. You know, it says here in Isaiah, the Lord sustains the weary with a word. Saints, have you experienced that? Even just one word? You know, we keep mentioning this verse. You know, in Colossians 1:12, maybe one day the word qualified just sets you free. You were in the church life feeling like you're the bottom one, feeling like you have nothing to contribute, feeling comparing yourself to others. Then one day the Lord shines on this word, who qualified you. You feel, oh Lord, you qualified me. Just this one little word. There's so many throughout. I mean, any verse the Lord could speak this to you. I was trying to remember if during our September conference, Labor Day conference, I spoke something about Psalm 3:3. Did I mention the lifter of our head, the one who lifts up our head? Yeah. Psalm 3:3. The Lord has used this verse for me since I was a child. It says, Thou, O God, art a shield to me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I think in the recovery version it says, the one who lifts up my head. You don't know how many times in these decades of following the Lord, this a little song, as some of the saints, one brother mentioned last night, the Lord comforted him through a children's song. I learned this song when I was in elementary school. But the Lord has used this. Lord, you are my glory and the lifter of my head. You lift up my head. Ben, come here. Not everybody was here with us in September. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're sad, what do you do? When you're sad, sad. Yeah. But it says in Psalm 3:3, He's the one who lifts up our head. Be sad again. Sad. Because we don't stay happy. But He is the one who. Thank you. You know, I know Ben since he's like 12 years old. I used to do that stuff to him when camp, what is it? Woodby Island. Lakeside Bible Camp. That was in Seattle area. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. Do you have verses like that? That even now, you just, maybe in your Bible reading, you read them and you remember, Lord, remember that time that you used this verse? Another verse, actually, just recently, the Lord again came to me in Psalm 46. You know, Psalm 46, a few verses there. In verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we who are serving in the church life, and I don't mean only the ones who are serving in full-time. In this sense, all of us are full-time. But we get busy in the church life. We get busy with life. We get busy with our family. And we need the times to be with the Lord. And we know, I think one of the brothers mentioned this yesterday, sometimes we are running, we have this phrase, running on fumes, even in our service to the Lord. and we feel, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. I can't. I don't want to. Have you never felt like quitting every service in the church life? I'm on piano again. You know, now we have 8 meeting halls in New York City, 8 halls. And we just are in the process of purchasing another building for hall number 9. Yeah, we're running out of piano players for the Lord's Day meeting. So we're the piano players we're trying to get our young people to learn, and then everybody's running around with the, and like, oh, you might be on Saturday, you're so tired, and then you look at the refrigerator and there's the schedule, or you get an email, a reminder, what is it? Friendly reminder. And you're like, oh Lord, I'm again. But when you go to the Lord, He'll speak to you. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And in the same chapter, well, I have to read some of these verses to you. Because it's not just this verse. I hope we all can have the experience of being sustained with a word. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distress. He is most readily found. You know, the King James says, a very present help in trouble. A very present help. Even just this word could sustain you for 6 months. You're burdened again. You're refreshed again. Life has meaning again. The church life has meaning again. Just with one word. But this goes on. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams gladden the city of God. Saints, I've been in times serving, busy. The responsibilities and the weight only increases as time goes on. The needs increase because there's so much blessing everywhere. And then spend time with the Lord. And these are not the assigned verses, but just in spending time with Him and lingering and allowing Him the opportunity. Out of seemingly nowhere, this phrase comes. There's a river. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, there's a river. The streams whereof gladden the city of God. You know, to be glad is not to be rejoicing. That's different. You know, rejoicing is like we were doing at the Lord's table. Praise the Lord! To be glad is just, you know, and sometimes that's all we need. We just need to be made glad. You know, there's another song. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. That's enough. Don't take my time. You can sing on your time. He has made me glad. Sisters, young sisters, young moms, I hope for you it might not be morning revival, it might be 2 a.m. revival, it might be 4 p.m. revival. Whenever you can, I hope you could, when the baby goes down. Of course, maybe the baby goes down, you go down. bless you. Let's just bless you. That's fine. I'm not putting a requirement on you. But I do hope that you could have some time, even in the midst of what you're going through, when you feel like nobody understands. You're in those four walls. For 3 days, the only human being you've seen is... And your husband pops in once in a while. And there's no other adult, no other adult. And you feel like, I hope you could have a few minutes where the Lord could make you glad.
Amen.
And he can be the lifter of your head. This continues. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. She will not be moved. God helps her in the dawn of the morning. Anyway, this is just an illustration. This has been my strengthening. I tell you, this psalm, these verses, sometimes the next day I just have to go back. There's more supply. So maybe 5 or 6 days I just have to stay here. I'll read the assigned reading later. I'll still read it and get ready for the Lord's Day. I want the church meeting to be rich, but the Lord has me here. Personal comfort. A word tailor-made for you in your situation. That's the second benefit. The third benefit. Through our exercise of the personal fellowship with the Lord, this, saints, is where we really learn to follow the anointing. Often we talk about the anointing in terms of making decisions. You know, if you read the experience of life, Brother Lee talks there. It's not just about this. Because actually, with the anointing, God is adding himself to us. So with him, the decision is not the important thing. With him, the opportunity to dispense himself. He uses the illustration of painting, a layer of coating on us. That's the important thing. But in our daily life, there is this sense of sometimes following the anointing. Following. You're in the meeting. I will finish in about 20, 25 minutes. There'll be time for you to share. Some of you will have a sense. And you have to determine, Lord, you want me to say something? After the meeting, there might, or even you don't have to wait till after the meeting. Even in the meeting, does this happen? You see someone, there's a sense. Oh, talk to him after the meeting. Talk to him after the meeting. Find her after the meeting. Call this one. Or you see, you're looking and you don't see someone. And there's a feeling. Oh, you should contact that person. That happened to me yesterday. I'm sitting here. And I saw someone. And it reminded me of someone else. I thought, oh, yeah, I need to just say a little hello. The anointing's working all the time. Where do you learn? Where do you practice to follow the anointing? Actually, the training is in our personal time. And especially through our prayer reading. And this, we put these verses here. For the matter of prayer reading, receive helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer. And in our prayer reading, I hope that we would exercise, just as we mentioned concerning our singing. You know, with our songs, we demonstrated this yesterday. That as we're singing, we should not put the Lord in a box. What I mean by that is, don't always feel obligated to sing the entire hymn through before praying. But I will also say, if you feel like singing the whole hymn, just sing it. And don't be bothered by anything that I'm saying here this weekend. Just be free. Follow your anointing. I'm not interested, I keep saying this, and purposefully, I'm not interested in passing on methods to you. What I'm trying is to present principles that you would see how the Lord works. And then you find your way. Actually, it's not your way. You find the Lord's way for you. How is the Lord leading you? You know, in Song of Songs, I think it's chapter 2, there's the lover is in bed. And then she's suddenly, she was just an apple tree. Or under the apple tree. She was just under the apple tree. And now she's in a room. How'd she get in the room? It's mysterious. That's quite a strange book. It's in a walled room. And there's a window. And the window has a lattice, you know, which means, you know, like little bars. Yeah. And then she sees, and who's outside? The beloved is outside. What's he doing? What's he doing? Leaping. He's leaping and he's skipping. And then he stops and he looks in. Says, come away. And she says, no. And then he goes and he leaps. And then he comes and he comes back. Come, come, come. And he goes, no, no, no. And he goes, and then he keeps going. Later, she decides, I will rise now. And I go, he's gone. That to me describes our morning watch. The Lord is sometimes leaping. Not every day, not every day. Don't misunderstand. But sometimes he's saying, come. We say, no, I'm going to pray read. And he, come, come, come. He says, no, I have to finish singing. But in verse 2, he's saying, come, come, come. So you're singing verse 2. What's the, we sang 8:12, I think. Last night, did we sing 8:12? Yeah. So let's use that as a kind of an illustration. Yeah, verse 2. Just to behold thy face, for this my heart. Lord, my heart cries to you. Not only you don't have to finish the song, you don't have to finish the stanza. You don't have to finish the word, my, for this my heart. Lord, my heart. You don't have to finish the word. Whenever there's feeling, convert feeling to words. In Ephesians 6:17, the word and the spirit are interchangeable. The word becomes the spirit, and the spirit becomes the word. And in our experience, it should be the same. We're reading some word, but it's bringing some spirit. Then we convert spirit, that feeling, to word. Actually, then that becomes the spirit of reality to guide us into reality. And the same with our prayer reading. And actually, any verse. We spoke about 2 Corinthians yesterday, chapter 10. Or let's choose chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11. For I am jealous over you with a jealousy of God. You know, we encourage the young people with this. And we mentioned these 7 steps that, you know, yesterday of calling, praying, prayer reading, confessing, consecrating, thanks, giving thanks, and then petitioning. Yeah, these 7 steps are not, actually, it's better not to say steps, but 7 elements that are included or can be included in our fellowship with the Lord. And in encouraging them in the matter of prayer reading, we tell them this way, that we should not be, again, boxed in to the kind of prayer reading that we do in the church meeting. You know, in the church meeting, because we're it's a body of people, whether it's 2 people or 15 people or 300 people, or here we have more than 400 or 50 or so. We could pray, read a verse together like we did before. But we have to be a little coordinated. So generally it would be like this, right? Giving thanks to the Father. And then we all, amen. Giving thanks. And then this group, giving thanks to, and then that group, giving thanks to the Father. Then this one says, the Father. Then people say, amen, the Father. And like this. Generally, we don't add too many words. Maybe we sprinkle in a little hallelujah, praise the Lord, and amen. But in our personal prayer reading, we should be free. We should be free. So here, for I am jealous over you. Right away, or as soon as possible, personalize the phrase. This is how we try to help the young people. Personalize. That is, use the words I, you, me, my. So here, for I am jealous over you. You can say, thank you, Lord. You are jealous over me. Just personalize. Lord, thank you. You're jealous over me with the jealousy of God. Oh, the jealousy of God. Lord, thank you for your jealousy. Thank you that you're jealous over me. You're jealous over me because you love me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the idols. This verse doesn't talk about idols. That's 1 John 5:21. But that just came to my mind. That's how the Spirit speaks. Because that verse is in me. So the Holy Spirit has the ground at any time to bring it out of the storehouse of my memory, up into my consciousness. And then as soon as I have the feeling, I pray it. Lord, forgive me for the idols. Yes, Lord. Lord, you know. Lord, you know that thing. And for each of us, there is a that thing. And I say, Lord, I don't want that to be. No, Lord, I really don't want that. But yes, Thursday afternoon, Lord, forgive me. That took my heart. Thursday afternoon. You know, the Lord's shining is coming back to the enlightenment. The Lord's shining is always specific, not general. Satan's accusations, general. You're bad. The Lord says, Thursday, you had that thought. That's specific. Wednesday, you spoke with that attitude towards your wife. That's specific. So never fall for the enemy's condemning. But the Lord can shine very specifically. And through the word, as your prayer reading. Oh, for I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Oh Lord, Lord, you betroth me. You betroth me to yourself. To present me as a pure virgin to Christ. Pure. Oh Lord Jesus. It could be this word, pure. Oh Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm just not pure. I'm not pure in my dealings with the brothers. I'm not pure even when I give a testimony. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for seeking the praise of men. Forgive me for paying attention to how many amens I get. You know the amen meter? Person in front of you stands up. Everybody, amen! Then you say something, they go, amen. Then you sit down and feel like, huh. Even in speaking, even in prophesying, we might not be pure. But how will we know that? Only when we're with Him. And prayer reading in such a way. allowing even the Lord the opportunity in every word to say something to us. You know, if you have this kind of prayer reading, you might pray read one verse for 10 minutes. And you and on the morning revival book, there's two verses. You don't have time to finish. You might feel, oh, bad morning watch. I'm a failure. Don't feel that way. Follow the anointing. Just follow the anointing. I hope this little example would be a help to some to release us. Because saints, this is the point. Follow the anointing in these small things. When the Lord is leading you from the verse to a hymn. Maybe you're prayer reading this verse. Oh, I'm jealous for you with a jealousy of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, burn, burn, oh, love within my heart. It could just come like that. Then you just go there. Don't say, oh, wait, no, singing time is over. You allow him to lead you. You know, this matter of learning, exercising in small things. An illustration of this is actually David. You know, David in the Old Testament. He's known most famously for slaying Goliath. And how did he slay Goliath? With the sling. And one little stone. And when he, you know, I do believe that when he sent the stone and it hit Goliath here, right? It hit Goliath in the forehead. And it says, and it sank into his skull. It sank into his skull. Now, I believe that God did not perform a miracle to get the stone to Goliath's skull. That was David's aim. But surely, for the stone to sink into the skull, that was God's miracle. It was kind of like with basketball, when you play basketball. You know what an alley-oop? You know what alley-oop is? You know, somebody throws the ball toward the hoop, and then the other person grabs the ball, they jump in the air, and boom! Okay, this was David. This was God. So please get my point though. My point is that David had aim. And I don't believe that he threw it and then God guided the stone. If it was me, and I'm trying to hit David, and you all better watch out. Because, you know, it might slip out. Or if I throw it, boom, oh, Lewis is boom. Yeah, but David, no. David, whew. Yeah, okay. Where did he learn that? Tending the sheep. He learned that, actually he learned it in his job. Because he was a shepherd. He learned that in his daily living. He learned that when he was chasing away lions and bears. He tells us about the experience of the lion and the bear. I don't think David, when he was in the field, maybe even practicing. Don't you think one time just you put things there and you, missed. And then you cut to sharpen your aim. David could not imagine that one day he would use this skill for God's economy. But he did one day. So, you may not feel, oh, Do you sing? Do you pray, read, and convert to prayer? This is just me here. This is how you learn the anointing. One day the Lord will move in you to migrate. Will you know how to follow that? Learn here. Daily life. Little by little. Small things. When the Lord is telling you, kneel. Don't stand today. Don't sit today. Kneel. And you feel that you want to kneel and pray today. Or you're praying and the Lord, a song is in your heart. Sing it. Follow. We learn here in our personal fellowship with the Lord. Actually, what is this, saints? This is following the cloud. This is what we talked about on Friday night. This is to follow the cloud. God led his people in the pillar of cloud, in the pillar of fire. We mentioned Friday, when the pillar would take off from the tabernacle, all of God's people, they all packed up. The priests had their job to pack up all the furniture. You follow the cloud. Someday the Lord will lead you to follow the cloud to what? Serve the children. Follow the cloud to serve the young people. Follow the cloud to move to Baltimore. Follow the cloud to move to St. Louis. When that happens, you need to know how to follow the cloud. And where do we learn that? Every day we follow the cloud. We follow in our personal time. We follow during our day. During our day. One last thing, saints. I've mentioned a few times that I'm burdened for this point of praise. You know, we wrote those 7 points on the board, those 7 elements. And one of them was giving thanks. And I feel that in our personal fellowship with the Lord, I think many of us already incorporate calling in order to quiet our inner being. And this is a big point. This is a big point. And I hope this is one of the points that you come away with this weekend. We do need to calm our inner being. Calm our inner being from all the activity to allow the Lord to have the opportunity to infuse us. But we incorporate calling. We incorporate singing. We incorporate praying and pray reading. And I think even consecrating. I say, Lord, I give myself to you today. And maybe at the end of our time we pray for things. But I just wonder, I don't know. I wonder, is there an element of worship? Is there an element of praise? Is there an element of thanksgiving incorporated into our personal fellowship with the Lord? I think if there were, this would uplift our times with the Lord a little bit. And I'm not suggesting to do anything mechanical, but I want to put this into your thought. Maybe the Lord would lead you. Just before you exit your private room, your closet, or wherever it is that you pray, maybe it's even your car, just maybe a minute of praise, of thanksgiving. Oh, we have so much to give thanks for, both in the spiritual realm and even in the physical realm. We have much to give thanks for. And then to praise. That has nothing to do with anything. Amen. Regardless of our environment, Jesus is still Lord. Amen. And he's worthy of our praise. Amen. So I would like to conclude our fellowship with 2 things. One is that I'd like to sing hymn 396 in a moment so that we can end how we began on Friday night. And that can be our kind of corporate prayer as we sing this. And then it'll be your opportunity for sharing. But before that, I would like for us to read Psalm 150, the final psalm. If we could just read that together. Psalm 150. Do we have it?
Yes.
Do we have it?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the expanse. Manifest His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His vast greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and with dancing. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the pipe.
Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing hymn 396. 396.